Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we need your help today. It's not unusual for us. At least we recognize it, Lord. So we pray your Holy Spirit would come and feed your sheep, Lord. That you would open their mouth, Lord, and give them appetite for your word. Lord, wake them up to the gospel, to the good news, to what you've done, Lord. May we appreciate you more. May we seek your face more. May we want more of you and less of ourselves today. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for giving us a place that we can worship you, that we can serve you and serve each other. And thank you for our sweet fellowship. And thank you for the love that we have for each other. We pray you would grow it, you would magnify it, that it would spill out of these pews and onto the streets and to our workplaces and to our homes, Lord, that the love of Christ would flow out, that you would be careful to get all the glory and honor, that we would take no honor for ourselves, Lord. Lord, we just again thank you and ask for your Spirit to join us. In the powerful name of your Son, amen. All right, well, we're going to be in Hebrews today. So if you want to turn to our Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. And just a little bit of background about Hebrews. Not going to do much. Basically, who wrote it? We don't know. Who they wrote it to? Well, we don't know that either. We don't know exactly. But we know that they wrote it to a Hebrew people, which were Christian and some non-Christians, and probably had some Gentiles mixed in there as well. It was a church that had some knowledge, had some teaching, had some Christians. But the book of Hebrews is primarily about Christ, a better sacrifice, a better high priest. And that's what we're going to look at today. So Hebrews chapter 9, starting verse 1. Now even the first covenant had regulations for worship and earthly places of holiness. For a tent was prepared, the first section, in which were the lampstand and the table and the bread of the presence. And it was called the holy place. That's the first section, the first courtyard, first court. Behind the second curtain was a second section called the most holy place, having the golden altar, incenses, and the Ark of the Covenant, covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden urn holding the manna, and Aaron's staff that had budded, and the tablets of the covenant. Above it were the cherubims of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. On these things we cannot now speak in detail. These preparations having thus been made, the priest goes regularly into the first section. Notice it says the priest, performing the ritual duties. But into the second, only the high priest, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. So the first court, I want to talk to you about access to the Holy of Holies, about access to the presence of the Lord. So in the first, in the temple that was the first temple, the law, in that scenario, we had two courts. We had a holy court, and we had the Holy of Holy courts. And the priest only could go into the first court. None of the common people could go there at all. So if you were a common Jew, you didn't even have access to the access. You were in the outer court. You couldn't even come in unless you were a priest. And then if you was a priest, guess what? If you were fortunate enough, you would be the high priest for that year. And as high priest, not every day, but one day, the Day of Atonement, you could go into the Holy of Holy Places. You could go in where the very presence of God was. One day a year. One person out of all the people. And this was fortunate. But it may not seem fortunate because they tied a rope around your leg. And they put bells, supposedly, on your clothes. And you would go into this Holy of Holies place. And they would start the smoke coming over so it would be covered completely. And then the priest would enter into this Holy of Holies. And they would hear the bells ringing. And he would be doing work. And he would go in and out four times. Not five. He goes out five, dead man. Less than four, probably dead man. But anything over four, that was unauthorized. And so he was to be considered as dead, accursed. So, very holy, very precise. The access to the normal Jew was non-existent to the Holy of Holies. To the high priest, only once. So we put all the time and everything together, maybe, what, 4, 6, 8 hours? I don't know. So as he went into that Holy of Holies, what did he do? Well, they had two goats and they had a bull. And so he would have the bull and the goats would be sacrificed. Well, one of the goats. And as they were sacrificed, they would take the blood. And he would take the blood of the heifer or the bull and he would sprinkle that in the Holy of Holies to pay for the sins of him and his family. And then he would take one of the goats and he'd take that blood in the Holy of Holies and that would pay for the rest of the people's sin. And then he would burn incense. And so he would go in and out four times. That's kind of what it looked like. So that's the access. Now let's go to the better way, the new covenant. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 through 18. For since the law was but a shadow of the things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshipers have once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of their sins. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God." I've come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law." Then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been, and that by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ Jesus once and for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never make sin, never take away sins. But when Christ has offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for a time until the enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he had perfected for all those who have been sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, there is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of sins, there is no longer offerings for sin. A one-time sacrifice, one time that satisfies the sins, that pays for the sins for all those who would believe in Jesus Christ. To pay for them then, it's a one-time sacrifice. He died once and then he was raised from the dead. The sins were forgiven, and they were forgiven forever, eternal. That's the high priest that we have now. Now let's look at this sacrifice. Let's compare it back with the first sacrifice, the first temple, the first priest. Let's look at the access we have here, okay? So Jesus has made a way. He's made a way into the Holy of Holies. At verse 19, it says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. In the Old Testament, there was distance between God and man. You could only go into the Holy of Holies one time, and then you had to be a high priest. But now we see here that the blood of Jesus Christ has brought us near. That we are to come, we're to draw near to God, draw near to Christ. So in 19 it says, therefore, brothers. Now, brothers, and since we have confidence to enter into the holy places by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have access by the blood of Jesus Christ. That veil that they had in the temple, it was 30 feet wide, 30 feet tall, and it was about as thick as your hand. Now, I don't know if they meant my hand like this or my hand like this, but it's thick, 4 inches. So if you got it 4 inches that way, you're okay. But anyway, so thick. And what happened to it? It got ripped. I'm going to read that here in just a minute. So in this, in the Old Testament, in the temple, remember, only the high priest could come in. But look at this verse. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places, the holy place by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have access. And this, the author is assuming that we are all priests because there's no mediator there. And we are high priests. I mean, not high priests, but we are priests, and the Bible tells us that. But we also need a high priest. We need Jesus Christ, who is there at the right hand of the Father, our mediator. So we're called by a new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. Jesus Christ has given us a new way, a living way, a resurrected way. that he opened for us through the curtain. That is through his flesh. So if you remember in Matthew 27:50-51, it says this, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split." This was a climatic event. You had darkness, you had earthquake, you had this temple curtain 30 feet high ripped from the top down. Now it was an earthquake. I want you to think with me a little bit. If it's an earthquake and the earth is moving out like this, right? And that's what's going to hit the bottom of the earth. It's going to be the bottom of that temple, the bottom of that curtain. And that curtain's going to want to go this way. The bottom, it would be bottom and then going up. But the hand of God came down and ripped that curtain himself. God himself ripped that curtain whenever Jesus Christ died. Whenever he sacrificed his body, he paid the price. Then that curtain was ripped. And when that curtain was ripped, get this, folks, we got access to the Holy of Holies. We have access to God. The Bible tells us to draw near to him. What does that mean, draw near to him? To come into his presence. We're going to look at that a little bit more, but we have access. But when do we have this access, and where do we have this access? We have it everywhere and any time. And anybody that's a Christian, compare that to the Old Testament, the one high priest one time a year. We have total access. We have access to God who loves us and made a way for us. He cleared all the obstacles out of the way so that we could go into the Holy of Holies. There's no veil there. Just come in. And he tells us, he bids us to come. Every time we go to pray, we can enter into this Holy of Holies. We can enter into God's presence, and we should. It's a good reminder that this is a blood-bought privilege. It costs Christ everything. And we have to be careful. We don't neglect so great a salvation. Neglect so great a privilege as to go to Christ in prayer, to go to God in prayer. Christ has made the way. He has carried us to that holy place if we would come. 10:21. It says, And since we have a great priest over the house of God, talking about Christ. And then it says in parenthesis, even though we are priests, 1 Peter 2:9 and Revelation 1:6, yet we need a priest ourselves. Christ is our high priest, and his present ministry for us assures us our continued welcome before God. He has the right hand of the Father and said, "No, Father, this one's mine. This one's mine." He's interceding for us. He's our advocate. He's our a representative that he's under the blood. The blood is paid for the price. Verse 22, here he tells us, "Let us draw near. Let us draw near." Notice the author don't say, "You draw near." He wanted to be in on this too. It said, "Let us draw near." Every Christian should want to draw near to Christ, to God. And so we have to draw near. This is the believer's blood-bought privilege again. It cost him a lot. And we are invited in. Think about this. You could be invited to all the celebrities of the world, Hollywood, and all these different things, and presidents, and parties, and all the different things. But you're being invited by the sovereign God who created you and everything else, who sustains you and everything else, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the one inviting you to come. And He's made the way. So all you have to do is come. So let us draw near. Now look, it says, let us draw near with a true heart. With a true heart. With full assurance. In full assurance of faith. And with our hearts sprinkled clean with a, from an evil conscience. And our bodies washed with a pure water. So this is how we come in. This is the requirements to enter in. So that we would have a pure heart. A true heart, a pure heart. The people of Israel, God said, you draw near to God with your mouth and you honor Him with your lips, but your heart is far from me. So we have to have a pure heart. Our approach should be sincere when we come before God. In full assurance of faith, we draw near with the utmost confidence in the promises of God and with the firm conviction that He will be gracious to us, that He has got us a gracious reception waiting for us when we go into His presence. He wants us to come. He's waiting for us to come. So we need that assurance that God is for us and not against us. He's done everything He needs to do to clear the way for us to go all the way to into the Holy of Holies, to the very presence of God. And He wants us to be in that presence. And He desires it as much as we should desire it. So we go in full assurance of faith, right? We draw near to Him. Here's the other part. Having our heart sprinkled with evil from an evil conscience. So what does that mean? How do we have that cleansing? Well, we call it salvation. When we trust in Christ. When we appropriate the value of His blood by calling out to Him in faith and believing in Him, returning from our sins, then figuratively we are sprinkling our hearts and with the blood that Christ paid for us. Just as it sprinkled the doors and the blood posts, the blood over the doorpost in the Passover. So we do that whenever we come in, when Christ saves us and we profess Him as Lord and we're brought by His blood. And then the fourth one, and our bodies should be washed with pure water. The pure water, we are cleansed once and for all from the guilt of sin by the death of Christ. But then we are cleansed repeatedly from the defilement of sin by the Spirit through the Word. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, washes away our sins. And when we confess our sins by the Word, the washing of the Word. Thus we would, here's how you would say those four things we just talked about. To get into God's presence. First, you need to be sincere. You need to have faith and assurance, right? You need to be saved. You need to be a child of God. And then lastly, sanctification, being washed in the Word of God, confessing your sins, being up to date with God. Amen? So let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful to hold fast the confession of our hope. Nothing must be allowed to turn us from the unending confession that our only hope is Christ. Christ and Christ alone. That's our only hope. And 24, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. He tells us to stir up one another in love and good works. Other places He says, stir them up daily. Are you stirring up someone daily for good works? Is that producing deeds in them and deeds in you? This is something we have to work at. It's not something that comes natural. We should encourage people. We should love people. We should challenge people. We should rebuke people. Can you do that? That's what we're told to do here. We should be trying to discover new ways of encouraging people, new ways to fellowship with people, that our love might be manifest to love and to engage in good works. Love is not an emotion in the New Testament, but it's an act of the will. We are commanded to love, therefore it is something we can and must do. We must love. That is the thing that's the one thing that determines if we're a disciple of Christ. He said you would know this by their love for one another. If we were disciples of Christ, we would be marked by love. And that love will produce good works. So love is the root. Good works is the fruit. By our example and by our teaching, not just our teaching, we should stir up other believers to live this kind of life. And then let us hold fast the confession. I'm sorry, we got it here. Oop, right here. I have a verse that is missing. I have to put these on my paper so I can make the print bigger, okay? But I'm going to go to Hebrews and get you that last verse. So it's 25. Not abandoning our own meeting together, as in the habit of some people, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So we're familiar with that verse. Not neglecting to meet together. Now, this church, I didn't tell you, but this was a church that was under persecution. And sometimes when churches are under persecution, think of the ones in China and stuff, they would go underground. They wouldn't meet as much, or if they did, it was very hidden. But he's telling this persecuted church not to neglect, because it's so important. It was important for the persecuted church. It's even more for us, that we do not neglect the coming together as people, as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's critical for our sanctification. So that curtain was a dividing wall between us, the one in the Old Testament there, that big one, and we didn't have access. But then God himself, by his mighty hand, ripped that curtain, and he made access to the Holy of Holies through the death of Jesus Christ. And we can come in to his presence as believers. Every child of God has access now. We have no excuses not to come. We have access to the very Holy of Holies, something that the Old Testament Christian can only dream of. But now we have it. So what are you going to do with it? And what are you going to, how do we use it? What is this, what do you think about when you talk about access to the Holy of Holies, to God Himself? I think about prayer. When we come in, when we come into His presence, when we're trying to come into His presence, how do we come in? You know that priest they had in the Old Testament, the high priest, he would dress up and have stones and a breastplate and very fancy clothes and hat and everything. But when he went into the Holy of Holies, he had just plain white covering him head to toe, face, everything was covered, because he was coming in to the Holy of Holies, and he was coming in humbly and plainly before God. So we come in humble. We come in, it's almost an oxymoron, though, because it says come in boldly, right? It says come in boldly, but that boldness needs to be tempered. It's not the kind of boldness that you, it's a confidence that God the Father and God the Son, the Holy Spirit, are working together to give us access, and we're invited to come in. I think of Esther. Remember, she went in to see the king. She had to save the people. But you can't come in and see the king unless you've been invited. And she came in, and the king had the scepter, and he put it on her and told her to come. Folks, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God Almighty, holy and true, has put the scepter down for us to have access. You're already invited. You can come if you will. We have to come. So we got to come humbly, believing, reverent. But we have access. We are His children. We are the bride of Christ. He wants us to come. Why would we not come? I believe, I love this thing that it's a blood-bought privilege to come. There's been a lot of blood lost because of this. Christ, precious blood. We don't want to waste it. We want to come. We want to have that access. Christ has made a way that we can boldly come, and it says in full assurance, confident, that Christ not only wants us to come, He wants to hear our prayers. He wants to answer our prayers. He's the one that gives us the burdens. He's the one that gives us the desires if they're of Him. If we ask and we don't ask amiss, it's coming from God. So we come in. You say, well, I don't know how to come in. Well, are you a Christian? Do you have assurance? Full assurance, like He says, that when you come in, God is going to be waiting for you there, and He's going to be willing to hear your prayer. I love what R.C. Chapman said. He said he believes that God would stoop down and listen to his prayers when he prayed. And there's a lot of people that really believe that too, because Chapman got a lot of prayers answered. One of the stories he was told is people would like to ride with him when he went on trips, because they knew they would get there safely because Chapman was in there. He was seen as such a holy, godly man. But God is doing that for us. But He can't do it if you don't come. And He can't do it if you take and go in there and do a 3-minute prayer and turn around and walk out. Or if you go in there and, like, you know, you have to come into His presence. And that don't happen in 2 minutes. Now, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with short prayers when we're out doing things. But we need to take time to slip away with God and to come in that presence and then experience that and then take that with us the next time we go in, the next time we go. So we need to come in that presence whenever we're praying. We need that. Again, we don't come arrogantly. We don't come prideful. We don't come making demands to God. But we do come making petitions to God. So, just the other thing, I think of Moses when he went to the Holy of Holies, remember? And then God said, Moses, here's your own holy ground. Take your shoes off. You don't have to take your shoes off, but you do need to realize that we are in a holy place and that God is holy. So reverence to God and then go boldly, knowing that you're welcome, knowing that the king has already put the scepter down. Come on, the place, it's a straightaway. You can go straight in. There's nothing holding you back. He's taken all the objects. You remember in Romans 8 where it talks about the love of God and what could separate us from the love of God? You can use the same thing for the holiness of God. It's nothing. He's taken away all the objectives. All we have to do is go in faith, believing, sanctified by the grace of God, saved by the grace of God, and praying and believing in the grace of God. God can help us. God help us to do that. Now, one of the things you have to be is you have to be a Christian. You can't get in there if you're not a Christian. And all this we've been talking about, the nearness of God, coming near to God. That's not a physical distance. That's in here, and in here we make that connection. We go to God. We come near to Him. In Isaiah, there's a gospel call. It says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. Unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that He may be compassionate on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Jesus Christ has paid the debt for all those who would believe on Him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him would be saved, would not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16, for all those who believe on the Son will receive, yeah. I have to get a running start. John 3:36. He that has the Son has eternal life. But he that does not obey the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God will remain on him. We have so many verses to tell us to believe, to trust God, repent, turn from your sins, come to Christ. The day is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Our brother gave a good gospel call to the children. And many of them think, maybe it's not talking about me, maybe I'm not old enough. Well, I would say if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. Go talk to your parents and see what they have to say. But anyone can come. Everyone that hears upon the name of the Lord, calls upon the name of the Lord, will be saved. That's what the Bible says. I'm not going to argue with that. Yeah. So, you can be saved. You can go into that Holy of Holies. You can receive Christ even today. But you have to step out in faith, believe in Christ, believe what He did on that cross, that He paid for you, okay? Okay. I'm going to close. Lord, we thank You for the book of Hebrews, Lord, and the wonderful things that Christ did for us, how He showed His great love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Lord, would you take these words and put them deep into the hearts of those who are lost, Lord. And for us who are Christians, Lord, Help us not be complacent or tentative when it comes time to come into your presence, Lord, but to seek your face, Lord, to want to, Lord, give us a desire, give us a burden, give us a zeal, Lord, to seek you, to seek your face, to be in your presence, Lord, to love you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, Lord. Strength, Lord, please don't let us be lazy or complacent, Lord, thinking that we have done all we need to do, that we are in Christ, so everything's okay. Lord, you told us to be diligent to work out our salvation, Lord. Help us not to think it's already taken care of. Lord, I just pray you bless these words, especially your words, Lord, and that you would be with us the rest of the day, that the conversations would lift up Christ, that the joy of the Lord would be in this place, Lord, the laughter and the kids playing and all the different things that we have here, Lord. We thank you so much that you have given us the Holy Spirit and that you love us and you gave yourself for us. We love you, Lord.